Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Arrowhead Pride Radio. Arrowhead Pride, the most popular Chiefs website on all of the internet.
Pass sidearm, pass intercepted. It's Dan Sorensen, a pick six. Dan Sorensen, dirty Dan Sorensen.
All Chiefs, all the time. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
And welcome to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger, Jay Binkley. Pete Sweeney. In the house, as he's been here for quite a while.
Yeah.
C-Dot kept you for bonus time.
I know. And, you know, C-Dot doesn't give me anything extra for that, just so everybody knows. So I'm doing that out of the goodness of my heart. How about this new intro? We've been with those random bells for a long time. This is
like last year we didn't have one, did we? We were kind of doing our own thing a little bit. Right?
Flying by the seat of our pants. Yeah, this is a new style, new intro, new season of Arrowhead Pride Radio now that the Royals are done. And it's exciting to be back with you, Jay. We continue on.
Good to be back with you, Pete. As we left off, 2-2 now. It's been a different situation. The Chiefs being undefeated, right, or as we've seen in previous seasons throughout the month of September. But it's good to be back with you. You guys are doing big things over there at Arrowhead Pride. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What you guys do with your injury reports, the stories, what Ron Kopp is doing for you over there, and Matt Stagner, their podcast, and Tom John Dixon, the whole crew. Even Cramedog simulations.
The good simulations stuff. Are just killing it right now. People love the Madden simulation. Somehow the Eagles.
The Virtual Royals spun off a few things, right?
That's right.
This is the bonus sitcom.
Joey didn't work as a bonus sitcom. Kramer spinning off with the Royals has worked, and it is going well. The Eagles actually beat the Chiefs in the Madden last week, which was a stunner on Madden.
Yeah, get rid of the game.
Then the Chiefs took care of business. So I'm eager to see what happens with this Chiefs-Bills sim. We post that on Fridays, by the way.
Well, the first injury report of the week is out for the Kansas City Chiefs. Chris Jones did not practice today, dealing with that wrist, as he's been dealing with that the last couple of weeks. Armani Watts did not practice, but DeAndre Baker, Orlando Brown, Frank Clark, Rashad Fenton, Tyreek Hill, Charvarius Ward on the injury report for various things from groin to quads, but all full participants in practice. Bill side, Mario Addison, Cole Beasley did not practice. Mm. Not injury-related, rest issue there. But Tywan Jones, Matt Milano did not practice, nor did Greg Rousseau for the Buffalo Bills. But these injury reports, Pete, are sometimes misleading when it comes to some of these games.
Well, I have a couple notes for the Chiefs that you should listen to. So Willie Gay's not on this list, but what has happened now is he is designated to return. So the 21-day window where the Chiefs have to activate him has now began. We're at 20 days now. So there's a chance he could be activated this week, but a lot of times they'll base it based upon the time here. And so they might see how he is this week, and maybe it might take till next week. We still have to see on Willie Gay. So we have no status update because,
which, by the way, some of these last to last minute. It's like baseball,
right?
Sometimes the guy you're calling up is already in the town, but they don't make the decision till right before. That's what the NFL did last week. A lot of guys got off of IR, but it wasn't until like Saturday they made that.
The designation means he can put a helmet back on and try to start practicing again. So we don't get an update on him because he's not on the 53-man roster. Chris Jones being shut down is interesting for Wednesday. We'll see if he practices limitedly tomorrow. I think the Chiefs are trying to get that wrist back to normal. Andy Reid mentioned it. It's kind of a distraction. I know we might get to that. And then the other ones that stand out to me, Jay, and tell me if you agree with me, are Frank Clark and Charvarius Ward as full participants. That typically means, especially on Wednesday, that these guys are trying to return this week, and the Chiefs need them to return against what is a really strong Bills offense.
I honestly expect to see LPs next to them, limited participants in practice today.
Yeah, me
but
too.
Seeing
I did too.
FP as early as Wednesday is a good sign.
FP is a good sign, and these guys have missed the last two games. Now, the Chiefs need a healthy Frank Clark, and we don't know what we're going to get there. I would imagine, just like they did with the other hamstring that was injured, it'll be a rotational thing as they have him on a little bit of a snap count to start with Mike Danna, who has been fantastic for the Chiefs, an early surprise this season. Charvarius Ward, to me, it's not like a guy who is typically all that injury prone, so I bet you he could go right back to that right cornerback position and play 100% of the snaps. So I'm really optimistic about Charvarius Ward. We'll see if Frank Clark is on a snap count with the hamstring.
Before we dive into things here, are you kind of with me on the defense? I was asked to just define quickly the problems. And I think sometimes it could be simplified as Jaron Reed is not the guy that the Chiefs thought they had there on the defensive line at this point.
Okay.
It's early because it gave them the flexibility to move Chris Jones outside. Jaron Reed was a big cog in all this. And then Frank Clark, not on the football field. I think a lot of things can be defined just by those two moves.
Yeah, and I know it's a story we don't talk about as much anymore because it's gone so bad for the defensive line to start, but we have not really seen Jaron Reed and Frank Clark together. We were talking a lot about how their best year of their careers was in Seattle and was with each other. We were talking about that ahead of the season, and we were saying, oh, these guys exploded for 20 sacks, all of these pressures.
131.
But they have not really been able to play with each other fully healthy yet. So I would love to see, once Frank Clark finally gets back healthy, what kind of impact maybe that could have on the rest of the line, and that really includes Jaron Reed. But I think you're right. If Jaron Reed could get to the production level that I think the Chiefs were expecting, then things will start to happen where you feel more comfortable at Chris Jones on the outside. I know we had mentioned the wrist, but that seems to be maybe an issue we're not talking about enough. Yeah. Either. And so it starts, I think, with Jaron Reed, and then the problems kind of work themselves both outside along the line and then behind the line, where you're also missing Willie Gay, who are waiting to get back. And then the cornerback injury doesn't help either. So there's a lot of reasons, but I think you're right for starting it with Jaron Reed not producing yet.
And Mike Danna, the former fifth-round pick, didn't even go to the combine, the transfer from Central Michigan to Michigan. Believe it or not, he's actually got more quarterback hits than Frank Clark, about 25% more. Than Chris Jones this year. A lot of people.
Danna looks great.
Yeah, but
the best defensive end on the Kansas City Chiefs through 4 weeks.
Well, it's still early.
Michael,
the jury's still
Danna
out, but he does
He
does have 25% more quarterback hits. Now, a couple of moves in the NFL that kind of caught us by surprise, at least the national media too. Jalen Smith, linebacker, best linebacker in the country, was at Notre Dame. Going to be probably a top 5 or 10 pick when he was there. Got hurt in the Fiesta Bowl, and really the impetus on a lot of guys not playing in bowl games because of what happened to him in a non-playoff game in the Fiesta Bowl with Ohio State. Still drafted in the second round. News came out today, he's going to the Packers.
I know you wanted him, right?
I did, actually. Because you know what? You add pieces. When you're that bad, we're 31st total defense. You add pieces. It doesn't harm you anything. Mm. You get the money thing was a little bit scary, but yes, I do like Jalen Smith.
Trading for him was a non-option
with the
contract.
I know his production's down a little bit. He is the second greatest linebacker on Pro Football Focus in coverage.
Right.
But he's also showed up to every practice and every game. That stuff matters to me when you show up. And he was team captain last week.
I know a lot of this probably had to do with the price tag on him. If a team traded for him, they were taking on a colossal contract for potentially damaged goods. There was an injury guarantee where if he didn't play or was unavailable in 2022, the Cowboys would be on the hook for, I think it was like $16 million.
Yeah, 9.2 clause would kick in for next year. And the weird thing is, they played him last week even on special teams.
He
could have got hurt.
Right, exactly. I just think there's something to him reportedly being available via trade where they're trying to move this guy, and you go 0 for 31 on teams. And so I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like a guy who was going to come in and be the savior of the Chiefs defense, which it does feel like there's missing some kind of spark there. And he ends up with Green Bay, so we'll see if they ended up making a mistake. I know that we've looked at what Ingram has been able to do, and we're sometimes a little bit regretful on that one. I tend to think the Chiefs won't regret letting Jalen go, but again, remains to be seen. We'll see how he does in Green Bay.
And one that I know that you liked, and he's the former defensive player of the year.
I mean, I like this guy.
Stephon Gilmore.
So good. He's so good.
It's just like Jalen, kind of a financial deal. Couldn't get the contract. Still in the PUP list.
Yeah.
But can be traded. He was traded to the Panthers for 2023 sixth-round pick. I like Stephon Gilmore. Now, a lot of people were interested in that. Unfortunately, he was traded to the Panthers. But here's the thing. Not everybody's the Baltimore Ravens that'll trade you in Orlando Brown. Like, to me, Belichick, if he's going to make a trade, it's not to the Kansas City.
Right.
Like, that is a coach that still respects the teams above him in the AFC and doesn't want to make them better. It was going to be a pipe dream if Kansas City was going to get him because they were going to do business with him.
The reports are right now that Kansas City, I believe the NFLPA, Nick Jacobs of 41 tweets this out every once in a while, and thankfully I believe it was around $3 million, and then you know, you go to Spot Rack and the Chiefs are around $2 million in salary cap space. And
it's if like team, 3.1, technically.
Team's going to trade for Gilmore. You know, you're taking on $6 million, and then you're probably in the mix for needing to extend him. And the Chiefs are still in the mix of figuring out an extension with one of their more important players in safety Tyrann Mathieu. And they do have to figure out Orlando Brown as well. And you only have one franchise tag to go around. So it just gets very, very muddled. And I understand the caliber of player. If maybe there were different circumstances where you weren't having to trade for him and he was going to be available on the open market, maybe there's a convincing that could have happened, but a team did trade for him. And the Carolina Panthers, who is a desperate team after that injury to J.C. Horn, and they feel like they suddenly have an opportunity here with the way Sam Darnold is playing to make some noise in the NFC, and I believe it. I think they can make the playoffs, and they're going all in to an extent. And what they have on their side, Jay, and we enjoyed this in Kansas City for quite a while, that rookie quarterback contract. Sam Darnold, it seems like he's been around forever, but he's still in that fourth year, and that's magical when it comes to being able to fit guys under your salary cap.
But a prove-it type year for him, too. So it's very important for him, and you're getting him in a situation. Willie Gay, you mentioned him, the 20-day window. 21 days, but it's day 20 now to put him on the active roster. I think he's going to play, to be quite honest with you.
Hope he does. They've been missing, you know, we said that Reed might be the number one problem. I think against these running teams, especially teams like a Lamar Jackson, I thought to an extent Jalen Hurts was weaving and bobbing a little bit. I think he would have been better against them. I think he would have helped against the Cleveland Browns and some of the things that the L.A. Chargers were doing as far as the flats and the screens go. That's Willie Gay's wheelhouse there, where he's Mr. Turbo, he's lateral, he's chasing these guys down. Chiefs have missed him significantly, so the sooner the better. We'll see if he plays this weekend.
One guy that will be playing, probably, is named Josh Gordon. He's on the active roster. Our first peak question of the night.
Coach, on Monday, a conversation had to happen with Josh Gordon to see where he was, and you added him to 53. How did that go, and what did he tell you?
He feels good. He feels like he's in pretty good shape and wants to get going. So, you know, he's got experience, and I've learned over years that the veteran guys will tell you how they're feeling and where they're at because they know what's ahead of them. They surely don't want to embarrass themselves. So. He feels good about getting in there and kind of getting it started, and we'll see where it goes from there. You know, whether he's active or not or whatever, we'll just see how it goes. You know.
What's your comfort level with his knowledge of the?
He's very. And then last week you had an article up on ArrowheadPride.com with a beautiful quote from somebody you have to have like you named Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere he's been, he's kind of dominated. So, I mean, it's definitely exciting. He's someone, like I said, he's not covered when he's covered. He can make plays on one-on-one coverage, and I'm excited to have him here with us.
I am very excited about this, Pete. It was the day they drafted him. Now, I always likened the last night to Sunday.
Yeah.
It's going to be good anyway. This offense is maybe historically good, how good it is in the NFL. But a Sunday is going to be good. But putting a whipped cream and a cherry on top, that's a little extra thing. That's Josh Gordon to the Kansas City Chiefs. Ex-receiver now, 6'3", 230. Do not have that. I can stop scaring. Well, I probably still need to do it. Scaring wide receivers in the college ranks, like Treylon Burks at Arkansas, 6'3", 225. They got their guy in that size.
Right. Yeah, I think you have it to an extent in Travis Kelce, but it's a little bit different in the relationship that Mahomes and Kelce have. And Tyreek Hill is clearly a number one receiver at this point, but even at 5'10", it's more of a high point situation. It's not that big target. And I think Mahomes has missed this on the outside for a long time. Right. You know,
it's like the one thing they didn't have.
Right. And they're developing Jody Fortson into it a little bit with the bigger target. But this is a different animal when he's on the field, when he's healthy, when he's got his head straight. And all the signs look like he seems to have just that right now in Kansas City. I don't know how you could be more motivated than being able to play with Patrick Mahomes, and hopefully that kind of steamrolls into more and more motivation each week to keep his head on his shoulders. And wow, I am really eager to see how the Chiefs use him against the Buffalo Bills. I tend to think, like, similar to Frank Clark with the hamstring injury and the snap counts, I don't know if it'll be an exact snap count, maybe more of some packages built in for Josh Gordon, but I think you'll get, in a sense, a glimpse or a preview against the Buffalo Bills and then building to really a full-go part of the offense. What's been interesting here, Jay, is Andy Reid and referencing Cleveland, and really what he's referencing is 2012 with Kyle Shermer and Brad Childress, like a long time ago. It's just crazy, you know.
In 13, North Turner was there.
Right, and North Turner.
And it's when he had his best year.
Andy Reid and some of the terminology and keeping that and how that's helped him, it's just fascinating just how much football and decades and whatnot bleed into each other.
So Josh Gordon's did the hard part. All right, you got Mahomes, you got Kelce on Rich Eisen talking about how good you are, you got Tyreek Hill excited about it. If you're going to win a room with the Kansas City Chiefs, if you got Patrick Mahomes behind you, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, yeah, you're in pretty good company right there. Ron Kopp from ArrowheadPride.com will be our analyst that we have going forward this season on the show. Ron joins us next on AP Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger, Jay Binkley. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com. That time in the show when we are joined by the lead analyst from ArrowheadPride.com. He's got some fantastic work out on the website right now, something we'll get into in just a second. Good evening, Ron.
Good evening, guys. Two of my favorite people to talk to. How are you guys?
We're doing good, Ron, at Ron underscore Kopp, K-O-P-P. I know Ron, but Pete, what are we doing here?
What do you
He's
mean?
Not your favorite, man.
K-O-double-P, of course.
K-O-double-P. Ron, on the website, arrowheadpride.com, since this is AP Radio, I love this article you put out. If people want to check it out, I strongly recommend it. Three important statistics from the first quarter of the Chiefs season. Technically, we need one more quarter because it's 17 games, you know. But
you can't do quarters anymore.
We can still call it. Ron's a football coach. We could say it was four quarters of football. But of these stats, one of the things I really enjoyed, and I'm not going to give them all away, just give them one away. Have everybody else go over to Arrowhead Pride and read the rest of them. But the Chiefs have the highest yards per play rate on offense and defense. That kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the offense, the yards per play, we've seen the offense be so dominant this year, so it's not too surprising, right? But the thing is that it's kind of skewed a little bit because of how little possessions they've had. They've actually had the least amount of possessions in the entire NFL this year. And so, you know, that kind of goes to show you that there is something to, if the defense can't get off the field, it does really affect the offense. I've always kind of been one to say, hey, you know what, as long as the offense is scoring on the drives they have, does it really matter how much time possession the other team takes up? But it shows right there that it does affect the team. You know, the less possessions, the less amount of time the Chiefs have to score. And so it absolutely is impacting the offense. Obviously, they're making up for it by being incredibly efficient. You know, I noted that the yards per play rate is like 0.3 above the second one, and then that's the same amount of range between the second and on that list. So it kind of just shows you how far away and better they are from the rest of the NFL in offense. But on the defensive side, it's obviously not a good thing. Not only are they giving up the most yards per play, like I said, the time of possession's been crazy. They've given up a lot of time of possession per drive, a lot of yards per drive. So, yeah, right now it's that 2018 kind of sense all over again where the offense is dominant and the defense just can't get off the field.
Pete Sweeney, Jay Binkley, Arrowhead Pride Radio, talking to our lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, Ron Kopp. Ron,
K-O-double-P.
That's right, K-O-double-P. We know that you're going to be getting into the opponent's scout later tonight. I know people are really, and this is merited. They're worried about the Chiefs' defense based upon some of the things you just said against this vaunted Bills offense. What should give people optimism about this matchup, if anything, in your mind?
Well, yeah, I think I know we've seen those scores, right? Those last 3 weeks, they've been blowing out teams, and that's a little scary. But the opponents they've played have been, you know, not very good, you know, the nice way to say it. But also Josh Allen this year has just not been that great, honestly. He really hasn't. If you watch the games, even that 35-0 game against Miami, he just wasn't very impressive. They just kind of ran the ball really well. He didn't have to do much. Actually, you know, according to PFF, Josh Allen has the second most turnover-worthy plays this year. Not all of them have turned into turnovers, but he has 8, and the only quarterbacks ahead of him right now are Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. So if that tells you anything, he is kind of putting the ball in harm's way, even against bad opponents, you know. And that's probably why they haven't all turned into interceptions or fumbles, is because he's playing bad opponents. And, hey, the Chiefs' defense hasn't, you know, earned any respect over those opponents that he's been playing. To be honest with you. But, no, I don't think Josh Allen is at that level we saw last year. Last year he was a legitimate MVP candidate, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He is not playing like that this year. And I do think they've been able to rely on the run game the past few weeks because of the opponents they've been playing. Now, they can do that again, obviously, but they're not going to be able to do that as much maybe because the Chiefs' offense obviously is going to put up points, and they're going to have to keep up. So I do think Josh Allen might give the defense a couple opportunities to turn the ball over. And that obviously is something we haven't seen the last 2 weeks. Chiefs have not forced a turnover in 2 weeks. And that's kind of those game-changing things we need to see from the defense. You know, they just need to be good situationally, and I think they have a chance to make a few big plays against Josh Allen this week.
Yeah, Jay, we'll go back to you. The opponents he's talking about are the Miami Dolphins, Washington football team, and Houston Texans. And turnover plays, I mean, that makes me think of the Honey Badgers. So I wonder if he's a player to watch on Sunday night.
Well, they've been turning it over. Well, not turning it over, but putting the ball on the ground, but getting it back. They're +7, #1 in the NFL
there you go.
In turnover ratio. But Big Ben, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Davis Mills, and the rest of their schedule is very similar. This is the first real quarterback they've seen. I'm not buying into the Bills. I'll tell you, if the Chiefs played the Bills' schedule, we'd be talking about a 4-0 Chiefs team that would be cracking the stupid power rankings over at ESPN that didn't have the Chiefs in the top 10. They'd be there, Ron. I mean, you look at the average offense the Chiefs have played, 8.75. Average defense ranked 10.5. They played good teams. The Bills have not. Are you buying into what they're doing? I mean, honestly, they go out and win Sunday night, the Bills. Okay. That's a good win, Arrowhead Stadium, against the best quarterback they've seen. Will it take that to get you to believe in the Bills? Because that's what it's going to take for me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, hey, if they come into Arrowhead, you know, all of a sudden, it's, you know, they got to be the favorites to win the AFC and even maybe win the Super Bowl if they come into Arrowhead and win. But right now I'm with you. I would put the Chargers and the Browns still, and I know the Browns haven't looked particularly great either, but I would put them both over. I think they're both more dangerous teams than the Bills right now. And hey, you can't fault the Bills for, you know, playing the schedule they got and blowing those teams out. You know, we like the Eagles last week, I think the Chiefs should have probably had a more comfortable win than they had if they really are going to be, you know, this elite team. You can't fault the Bills for destroying the teams they've had on their schedule. You know, they've had 2 shutouts. That's really hard to do in the NFL. 2 out of 3 games, they've shut out the opponent completely. And so I don't want to fault the Bills too much because they are a good team and they are going to be in that AFC contender picture. It looks like they're going to run away with the AFC East unless the Patriots start turning things around. But, yeah, I'm not too worried about them. You know, I think, like I said, the offense is powerful. You know, Josh Allen's been iffy this year, but I guess the Chiefs' defense is probably going to put up some points. So I do think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to come down to the wire on Sunday. But, you know, I do see this offense, the Chiefs' offense, just being a little too much for them. And I think the Chiefs will come out on top. But, yeah, I won't buy into the Bills until we see them, you know, beat a legit contender. And they haven't yet, obviously.
Ron, I'm going to challenge you here. We talked about the injury report to start the show. Good news, Frank Clark and Charvarius Ward, hamstring and quad injuries. They were full participants on Wednesday. We're not sure if Willie Gay will play in this game. He's designated to return from injured reserve, but he's still on injured reserve. Those 3 players, 1 on each level, who is the most important player to come back and play the Bills for the Chiefs to win on Sunday night?
I'd say it has to be Willie Gay. And I think Frank Clark, there's an argument for Frank Clark because the pass rush has been non-existent. But, I mean, I don't think we've really – I think we can all kind of agree that, you know, Clark hasn't really proven that just because he's going to be in there, it's going to really increase the pass rush and be better. Now, I will say, before I get to the Gay point, you know, Clark being back in should, in theory, have Jones maybe on the interior more. You know, the Chiefs have used him on the interior, you know, in spots, and I like that. But I would still like them to do it more, and I do think one reason they haven't is because they don't really trust whoever's behind him on the defensive end to play a lot more. You know, if Clark and Dan are back in, then you can trust them to be on the outside and have Jones inside more. But the thing with Willie Gay is his athleticism, man. That's so important, especially against a quarterback that can run and scramble. They're not going to use Josh Allen to design run game necessarily, but he's going to scramble, and he's going to get yards with his feet. And guys like Hitchens and Neiman and Bolton, as good as they are in, you know, maybe run defense or certain other aspects, man, they have not been really, really good at chasing down quarterbacks or getting sideline to sideline. Gay can do that. Gay will chase down an Allen and, you know, maybe turn a 10-yard scramble into maybe 2 or 3 yards because right. he can cut it off. So, yeah, I think Gay is the most important. If they could get him back on the second level, it just boosts, like I said, boosts that second level athleticism so much. And especially against a scrambling quarterback, that's going to be really important.
Final question for you tonight, Ron. Is this the best offense we've seen under Mahomes at this point that's about ready to add Josh Gordon?
I got to believe so. And the key point is, and I wrote an article about the run blocking from the Philadelphia game. This run game looks dominant right now. And I know we played two teams that maybe aren't the strongest run defenses like the first two opponents were. But the Eagles' defensive line is pretty good, especially up the middle. And those are the three Chiefs interior offensive linemen were the three players that really had a good game against Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave. Those are the guys that really dominated in the run game, really opened up huge holes for Clyde and Darrell Williams. And if their run game is going to be like this, on top of the passing game, which even without, you know, a receiver two, obviously Josh Gordon, you hope, is going to be like that. Even without one, they've been dominant in the passing game as well. So if this run game can be just as good, taking advantage of the light boxes that defenses are going to present because Mahomes can throw, obviously, so well. Yeah, I think it's got to be the best offense in the Mahomes era because, even in 2018, they didn't have an offensive line like this in terms of running the ball. And they're looking really good. They're only going to get better. That's the craziest part. They are going to get better as the season goes.
From articles to podcast over at arrowheadpride.com, lead analyst Ron Kopp at Ron_Kopp, K-O-P, K-O-P-P is what Pete Sweeney says. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Keep in mind, Ron Kopp will have that opponent scout coming at you later this week. Arrowheadpride.com.
Yeah, I'm still laughing at, and I won't get it. I'll get into it later. Most analytical teams in the NFL, ESPN, another article. They had the Bills at number 3. And that was a team that kicked 3 field goals deep in Chiefs territory. Analytics would not have liked that. Regardless, Pete Sweeney, Jay Binkley, AP Radio. We come back. We'll look at the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the explosion. We buying into the running game being better. Plus, Chris Jones and the wrist injury. Andy Reid had a few interesting things to say about that today.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, Chris Inocero producing the operation. One thing that Ron brought up there, Pete, and I know that you and others have really talked about this with the Chiefs. You're buying into the running game of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He is 7th in the NFL in running. He did have the 7.3 last week. And they played against the 30th and 26th rush defenses in the NFL. And I've always said this. Yep. Any running back behind Mahomes should thrive. Patrick Mahomes is public enemy number one to anybody playing him. They don't get to Clyde in the game plan. It's stop Mahomes. You're not seeing 8-man fronts that you typically would. He should thrive. You buying into it? Or is it because of the competition, or if they arrived?
You know, I think at this stage, you got to say it's a little bit of everything. I know we would love to pick out one as we're trying to make a take on this, but I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is coming to his own a little bit. I also think the offensive line is thriving. You get a chance to talk to these guys as they get more experience together. It seems like they're doing better and better and really, there are times in the game, and especially along the what would be the right guard, as you would see, Bink, with what Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith are doing as far as making holes for Edwards-Helaire. We know if you give him a little bit of room, he's going to be able to do some damage here. And I think, especially at that position, and I'm combining really the running back and the offensive line and the run blocking. A lot of times you start to stack games. Like you get confident after one game and the confidence builds and the confidence builds and the confidence builds. And Granted, I know that we just came off a segment sort of making fun of the Bills for who they've beaten. When you talk about run defenses, you can't pick to face the best run defense necessarily. So they've taken care of business. It will be interesting to see if they can continue this when better run defenses come up.
And we'll see. And I do like the aggressive style and the physical play of the offensive line. The pancakes of Orlando Brown, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey.
You must love Trey Smith. We haven't talked about man. Is he your favorite Chief in a long time?
Well, you know that's always my favorite. That was my favorite draft pick right afterwards. I love playing that stuff with Jeff Schwartz when he was talking about the violent play. Yeah. The light switch came on when his high school coach said, "You're too big to play like this. You got to be meaner, man."
I know that you love, A, offensive linemen.
Yes.
Because they got similar stature
to you.
What are
you
saying? B, you like guys who are a little bit old school with the violence thing, and you like X's and O's guys. You can really tell, as a lot of the football guys say, he really loves the game and getting better and whatnot. So all three big things. Who knows if he likes bang energy? I mean, that's really the last the last question we have.
This brings us to our next Pete question.
Seems like teams are and typically are playing you a little bit deeper in coverages this year, making you guys play more methodical. How do you feel like you're responding to that, and how important is Clyde in that sense?
Yeah, I think we learned a little bit about it at the end of last year, where we were able to have to throw the ball short, drive the length of the field, trust these guys are like Tyree, you're going to make plays and get down the field once they catch the ball. And I think having the offensive line come in, how well they can run block, and Clyde running the football, I think that's just going to continue to be another step in the right direction for us to be the best offense that we can possibly be.
Certainly. When you add the running element in, able to have these 11, 12, 13 play drives like they've been able to do. I know the name of the game is score points. They could score from anywhere, but you sprinkle in the run game from time to time. Even Brendan Staley today said it with the Chargers, saying it gives the quarterback a chance just to breathe.
Yeah, and I love the flash when the Chiefs are throwing the football all over the field. But teams are adjusting, right? Like, that's going to happen in the NFL, where at the beginning of games you're seeing teams play a little bit deeper. But you start running the football, and you start running the football well, all of a sudden, Tyreek Hill gets loose down the field, and you're able to see that loft, beautiful pass down to him for the touchdown and the flip and whatnot. And I think the Chiefs' offense becoming balanced is to me a maturity thing that was going to happen eventually, because you're not going to just be able to do the one-dimensional thing for a long time. I think that goes back to why the Chiefs ended up taking a running back with, you know, what kind of equates to an early second, late first-round pick. Sometimes that pick is met with criticism, but it's starting to look better and better as you finally got a good run-blocking offensive line in place, and this offense as a whole is becoming more methodical. That's something that I saw ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, who's becoming one of the more respected analysts in the game. He called the Chiefs the most methodical offense in the NFL. That is quite a compliment coming from 2018 Mahomes, which was, let's all be honest, that was the most fun ever, right, where he just is playing backyard football every game, coming around the corner, rolling to his right, hitting Chris Conley in the end zone against the San Francisco 49ers. But the more consistent winning will come from this style of play, and I think the Chiefs are understanding that.
Moving over to the defense, quickly, Chris Jones, the inside-outside conversation, we'll get your opinion on that. But you had asked Andy Reid about this defense, and can it improve?
And I know we'll get Spags on Thursday, but where are the points of focus right now that you can maybe see tangible for the defense to improve as early as next week?
Yeah, I think, listen, there are areas that we've got to take care of. It's more situations that we've got to take care of in certain coverages and just calls. So, I mean, you know, the scheme. So and we just tighten that up a little bit. I think we'll be okay. Never quite as good as you think, never as bad as you think. So a few little tweaks here and there, I think we'll be all right.
Is Andy Reid talking about his defense, 31st ranked defense. Now, again, the teams that the Chiefs have played offensively have been good, that have been exploiting this defense. The average offense they're facing, their top 10 offenses this team is playing. But the real question is Chris Jones, and he's been dealing with that wrist, Pete. And this is what Andy said about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's a distraction for him. And you know, so that's what we're trying to give him time to let it go today. He's not going to practice today, so so we'll see how he does. You know, but that's kind of where we're at. Just take it day by day and see how he does.
So the wrist injury is affecting him. You an inside guy, outside guy? I mean, the wrist, it didn't matter if you're inside or outside; it can be an issue.
Yeah, you think about the hand fighting aspect of it all. I mentioned this on the drive, and I'll repeat it for those who weren't listening. We knew how important that was to Tamba Ali during his prime, and he passed that along to Justin Houston, and you saw it in Kansas City, and it's the hand fighting, and it's that war that you have when you're going one-on-one with the guy, and it's got to be impacting him. And I'm wondering out loud now here, because the Chiefs are trying to calm this thing down, maybe they give him the entire week where you just rest this thing and he doesn't practice at all. Like, I think this is a candidate. You see how on the Buffalo Bills side, they have rest days for Cole Beasley, for example, where he's just a veteran who's getting rest. I could see them giving Chris Jones at this stage of his career, the veteran treatment where it's like, look, dude, we know you're going to be good. Just take these mental reps. Let's not even touch the wrist this week. Maybe we can get it to calm down, because it kind of seems like, based upon his limited status these past couple weeks, it doesn't seem like whatever the issue is going away. And so maybe let's calm it down. Let's get you back to as close to 100% as we can in a game where we're really going to need you to impact this good young quarterback, despite some of the things we've talked about earlier in the show.
Real quick, do you like him inside or outside better?
Hard not to like him inside better. I'm not as ready for, I think, others to just give up on the experiment altogether, but I'm getting close. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
You're listening to AP Radio. By the way, questions for Pete. It's going to be coming up next after the break. 913-576-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. If you have a question for Pete, plus I'm going to put Pete on the hot seat a little bit.
Oh, no.
About a comment he made preseason.
Oh, no.
It should be readdressed. We discuss that next.
No.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. Keep those questions rolling in. We'll pick one. Ask Pete, Jay Southland, Tow Service text line. Maybe two. Big shout out to the real Pete Sweeney in New York for joining us. And also a shout out to Mark Schwinn, who's a big listener of this, who's been battling a few things. He's in the hospital now.
What's up, Mark? He's
listening to this. So a big shout out on your recovery, Mark. We appreciate you being such a big Chiefs fan. And
of course, yeah.
He runs a restaurant down in southern Missouri. Mama Loke is in Art Haynes from the Chiefs Network. He'll stop in there from time to time. My man Art will there. All right, Pete, the hot seat for you. Before the season, you love the Chargers.
I love the Chargers.
No, you
I like them as
there's a little bit more than best team. There was roses.
There's
on
only
the
one
first
undefeated
day.
Team, and it's in the NFC. Bing, I'll just let you know.
Your Charger Pete. I was talking up the Browns more than the Chargers because I wanted to see something tangible in the playoffs. Browns won a playoff game on the road against a rival. I get it. They played a terrible schedule, but they still
did. You beat see
it. And
the
now
Chargers
they play this weekend. The Chargers and the Browns.
Did you see the Chargers in the Raiders stadium? Nope, it was their own stadium the other night. Getting booed and managed to get out to a 21-0 lead and put them away. The Raiders, to me, of all the teams, they are. To me, this is never going to stick, the Las Vegas Raiders. It's going to be the Chargers and Chiefs all year long, Jay. And I'm telling you, do you want to put a wager on it? I know you're a big Cleveland Brown. Let's set the stage here. Jay and I were arguing all offseason as to who was the biggest contender for the Chiefs. And I said a number of times Chargers, and you said no, the Browns. Here they are playing this weekend.
We did give the Bills respect, though.
No, the Bills were getting very little respect.
But we still respected them, though.
They're okay. But we were between the Browns and the Chargers. So here we have a one-on-one game. Both teams are playing well. The Browns look like they have a very formidable defense, I will admit.
Number two in the NFL.
What do you think? What are we putting on here? You want to go steak dinner?
Well, I do a burrito bet with you since C-Dot's never paid me up on it. So
barbecue. How about a
Q39
dinner?
Let's do barbecue.
And then we could get mystery beers after. Let's don't say where they are, but we'll go get them after.
We'll do barbecue in the situation. All right, here's the question.
Okay.
Brian Greasy, by the way, I like the Manning cast anyway, but I really miss the Manning cast, Peyton and Eli, when Brian Greasy is bloviating on Justin Herbert being the second coming of Joe Montana, saying this is the team to beat in the AFC West. You skip right past the Chiefs and go straight to Chargers. Don't mention the 4 turnovers.
I know.
And they won the game. Then Michael Robinson on NFL Network says the same thing, Pete. Are you saying the same thing?
No. I've made that very clear from the beginning. I have said they are an AFC contender. I always thought that they would have that fifth place seed, which is means second in the AFC West, and have more wins than whoever the fourth place team was in the division. That's the quality of team I think they are. By the way, Monday Night Football, I have a take I want to get out on this. I have a problem with the main broadcast. I actually like the main broadcast. I know the Manning cast is getting a lot of love. I think it'll be back in two weeks.
Like week 8. So it took a couple weeks.
My problem with the trio is, do you know who Levy is? And you know what he sounds like? Sometimes I get caught, and Riddick and Greasy sound the same almost.
I just wish it was Riddick in there, not Greasy.
I agree, but sometimes I'm like, which one of the
I like the Mannings better.
You just want the Mannings to have the main broadcast.
It's better broadcast.
Okay. All right. Well.
But still, man, I really miss them.
I can appreciate it. They've been funny. I like when Eli does that. He stands up and does the Dak Prescott hip dance, and they have enough cameras to show it off, and you get the double birds from Eli, Peyton making fun of him the whole time. It is more fun, and I would agree with you. I think the main broadcast would be better if they did subtract Greasy. Yeah.
So you're not ready to say this is the team that beat in the AFC West? We can all agree that was kind of
100%.
Forget the team that
our
Chiefs have won 12 of the last 15.
Our argument was always who's the number one threat to the Chiefs, yeah. And we both, neither of us said the Bills. You were high in the Browns. I was high in the Chargers, and here they are playing for what's going to be a lot of burnt ends, I think, and definitely some onion straws and probably some craft beers, I would imagine, if I'm going with Bink.
It'll be fun. Here's a question from the 816. Why does how often do the Chiefs blitz? Should they do it more? I've got an answer for you. They're 11th in the NFL, 47 blitzes. But do the Chiefs need the blitz more to get to the quarterback? Because they're doing that, but they're just not bringing him down.
Depends on what the game dictates. I know that is an answer that can go a lot of different ways. But if the Chiefs can get off to a lead and it becomes a little bit more one-dimensional, then I think he could play back a little bit. It's just that they've been in a lot of games. So Steve Spagnuolo has been trying to mix it up, and he's been offering a lot of different looks. And I know that Spagnuolo has been coming under fire. I think he's working with what he has right now. I mean, this is a Super Bowl winning coach who's done it twice and turned defenses around. And
he's not missing tackles.
Exactly. And I'm just not on the bandwagon of this is Steve Spagnuolo's fault. Like, this to me is on the players. It's not Steve Spagnuolo's fault that they're not getting the communication correct. That to me is such a player thing. And it's been an issue for 3 weeks. So I don't know. Count me out on the Spags is the issue camp for now.
And one of the biggest issues from defense brings us to our last peak question of the night.
What gives you confidence that maybe some of those calls and
the
miscommunications can be cleaned up as soon as Sunday night?
Hey, that's what we're out here to do. We're going to go out there today and tomorrow and Friday and put in work and hammer away at it. And, you know, each week you expect to improve, and that's what we talk about is chase improvement. And so, you know, we'll identify areas that we need to get better at, and there's lots of them, honestly, and we'll just keep chipping away at it like we always do and continue to improve week in and week out.
There was a question to Dirty Dan about the miscommunication. It's been an issue with this team, Pete. One of the other themes was, can this defense find the form like they did in 19? It really happened at that Rams game in
There's some optimism that this defense could be cleaned up as soon as Sunday, and what is critical is it has to be. Your only way you're going to beat this team in this Buffalo Bills offense is by this defense playing better. And I just think if not, it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a last ball type of thing. Maybe Mahomes can score 50 and you can manage a win, but I think you'd be more comfortable if the defense plays better, yeah.
All right, Pete, we got about a minute left. You ready to do a prediction yet, or are you still
still thinking about it? What do you think is going to happen on this game?
I get the Chiefs by 3.
What Vegas
the full-size Mahomes, not the mini Mahomes like many did concert in life. Full-size Mahomes. They went by 3.
That's what Vegas has. I'm leaning Chiefs right now. I'm still thinking about it. If there was ever a week where you feel like maybe you could pick against Kansas City, and I have not done this. Man, I can't even remember the last time I was considering it. I was
1999.
I definitely picked against the Chiefs after since then. But no, I don't know. Should be interesting. Check on arrowheadpride.com later this week. We'll have our predictions up on Friday or Saturday.
And this podcast will be available also on Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network.
That's right. Each and every week, if you do miss it, if you're listening right now on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, we'll post the replay So you can listen to it there as well. Jay, you are an integral part of the Arrowhead Pride podcast network and really our Arrowhead Pride family. I you don't get enough credit. We got to get you a hat.
Yeah, you do need to get me a hat. Thanks, Pete, Editor-in-Chief. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks to Chris Uno, Sarah producing, and Ron Kopp coming aboard. Big good night. Yeah, that's me next.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.